With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Thursday, March 14th. Happy anniversary. What anniversary are you talking about, Jill? Oh, I'm talking about the anniversary of when we started making this a daily podcast. It was March 14th of 2020, and the entire world was shutting down. We were all freaking out. And this community really began in earnest. You know, back then, we were responding to the glut of emails that were coming in, asking for advice, wondering about which new program could be tapped, how do you actually make unemployment work for you, and of course, navigating the crazy markets that were plummeting and then rising. And, you know, it was just a time, gang. And sometimes I go back and think about that period, and I am really filled with gratitude for everything that you all did, that you absolutely got on board with a daily podcast where we literally started reading emails. And then we expanded and brought your voices on the air. And it has just been an astonishing ride. We have built this wonderful Jill on Money community, and it expands into other areas, whether that's video and other podcasts. And it's been dynamic and it has been enriching. And so thank all of you for participating in that ride. All right, now let's get to the show, will you, Jill? Come on. All right, so today we are going to do some emails kind of in honor of that anniversary date. Remember, if you've got a question, all you need to do is go to the website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, let us know if you'd like to come on the air. While you're on the website, don't forget, you can buy The Great Money Reset. It's out in paperback, and it really was built around the conversations we had with you guys. And you can subscribe to our service. It's called Jill on Money Live. That's where for $35, that's it, $35, you have access to quarterly live webinars and special video content. Our next webinar is days away. We have Cal Newport joining us on March 19th at 7 Eastern Time. He is the author of other books, and you may have even read him in The New Yorker. His book, Digital Minimalism, was really important and deep work, which I loved. His newest book is called Slow Productivity, The Lost Art of Accomplishment Without Burnout. I can't wait for this book. It is going to be so awesome to talk to Cal. He's been a great friend of the pod. He even blurbed my book. So if you want to join us for the Cal Newport interview, you must be a part of Jill on Money Live. Okay, let's get to your emails. This is from Louisa, who says, I don't have cash to pay for the taxes for a Roth conversion. Is it wise to use money in a brokerage account to pay for the taxes to do the conversion? Thank you. Well, Louisa, it kind of depends. I know it's a little bit annoying of an answer, but hear me out. You didn't mention how much money is in that brokerage account. If there's tons and tons and tons of money, and selling some of the assets within the portfolio is not going to change your life in any way, it's not going to change the trajectory, maybe, but there could be a tax liability in doing it, which really does mean that you'd be selling something maybe at a time where you didn't want to realize a gain. I don't know. I really would have to know more about the specifics of other things going on in your life. So let me answer the question by saying maybe. Oh, gosh, poor Louisa's like, thanks for nothing, Jill. This is from Anonymous, who writes, I've enjoyed listening to the pod for a long time. Back when Mark never talked and I pretended he was a potted fern with googly eyes on your desk that you consulted. This is great. I have a question for 20 years from now. How would you bribe your kids to have grandchildren earlier? My husband and I, current parents of little kids, see our peers postpone or avoid parenthood due to finances. We've been spitballing on what would be the most effective tax-wise, psychologically advantageous way to get grandkids at 25 instead of 40 or never. Would you cover childcare directly, cover housing, play with inheritance, assuming retirement finances are in order? How would you bribe for grandchildren earlier? This is a hysterical question. I would never get involved in this at all. This is such a personal question, and it depends on how your kids' lives are going to develop. There's many ways that you could support an adult child to help them out having children, but let's cross that bridge when we come to it. I'm not sure why you're particularly focused on this issue right now, but it's kind of cute. Anita writes, my siblings and I inherited a duplex. We are planning to keep it, but only for the family, our kids. We don't want to be landlords to strangers. Is there an alternative to formally having them be quote-unquote renters, which I presume would be considered taxable income on our part? We are in Western New York and also wondering about insurance on the property as it would not be owner-occupied. Well, I mean, you don't have to charge them rent. So they could just live there and not be renters. And so if they want to just live there and maybe pay the utility bill or something like that, there's no real downside in that. And in terms of insurance, I think you'd have to talk to an insurance agent about that. I mean, it would not be owner-occupied, but I wouldn't want to call it a rental property if you don't have rental income. So maybe you could just say, hey, it's my house. I'm not living there right now. It's a second residence. And if your kids live there, then the insurance company doesn't necessarily care about that, I don't think. That's my 2 cents. Jessica writes that my first car lease will soon end. It's about 8 months from now. If I buy it out, I would owe $19,000 on it. Okay. Oh boy, here we go. This is a long train of thought on this. I will wait until about 7 months, just before the lease is up, to refinance it with a federal bank. Since they have the best interest rates, I probably will be able to get, not because of my credit score, but because of how interest rates are right now. After I refinance it to buy it out, I want to sell it to a dealership, then get market value for it, plus the money to cover the loan. My current car is pretty basic for the model it is. I bought it during COVID. My options were limited. Should I sell it, then rebuy the same car in year with better bells and whistles that I can find for the buyout value of $19,000? I want to eventually pay this car off, but I also want it to be something worthy of keeping past the time when I can pay it off. Is this worth it? It does not sound like it's worth it at all, Jessica. This sounds like you're spinning your wheels for no particular reason. So what happens if you get a loan right now on for the $19,000? What would the loan amount be, the interest rate? Also, number two, can you just buy something with a fewer bells and whistles and hang on to it? Can you be satisfied? If you're really just dying to get another car, it's going to cost you more money. And the bells and whistles will cost you money also. So I just think it might be worth you just hanging on to this or just saying done and go get another lease. So I need to know more about you. Maybe there are other ways that we can get that $19,000, but we need to know more about you and your life. Natalie writes, I have a question about the tax implications of canceling an overseas whole life insurance policy. I'm 31 years old. I was born overseas. My parents, who are still there and aren't particularly financially savvy, took out a whole life insurance policy on me shortly after I was born and have been paying its annual premium even to this day. When I turned 21, the plan owner switched from my parents to me. I told my parents I want to cancel it because it really doesn't make sense to have this, and never did in the first place. They were fine with it. They generously told me I can keep whatever cash surrender value comes out of the policy. If I do keep the proceeds from the cancellation, about $30,000, will that be counted as ordinary income? I live in Illinois, and my top bracket is 32%. Well, this is interesting. I don't know if it gets taxed in the country of domicile or here. And just because the proceeds are $30,000 does not mean that all of that is taxable. The way you would have to figure out the tax implications, you first would have to call the insurance company or contact them and find out what's the tax liability if I were to surrender the policy. And tax liability on insurance is kind of funky. It is basically, it is ordinary income, but it's above the amount of money you're paying parents have already paid into the policy. So that's very important. I think that it's just interesting to me because I'm not sure about whether the country where the policy originated is the place that will levy the tax or in the United States. So we'll really have to get a little bit more information on that. And I will be happy to kind of work it through with you when you have that information. Oh, and here's the PS. Jill, I read your new book last year. I almost immediately found it helpful when I got laid off and my then husband said he wanted to separate a month later. This week marks the one-year anniversary since all of that awfulness, and I am thriving. I have a new job that pays better with fewer hours. My hourly wage doubled. I also had the money to do two big trips, one to Tuscany, one to Patagonia. Thank you so much. Oh, what a great place to leave it. Natalie, thank you. That makes my day. Well, that is it. That is the program. Thanks again for listening. And thanks again. Happy anniversary to all of us for the Jill on Money Daily podcast. Again, March 14th, 2020. That's when it all started, gang. From twice a week, a little more esoteric it was then, to today. Oh, God, I love this show so much now. You guys, you lifted me up just by making this all possible. And I hope that Mark and I can continue to give you the content that nourishes you. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.